Good morning.
This morning I have the privilege of introducing my father on the topic of teacher-student relationships. What is the role of a Rebbe and what is the role of a Talmud? Fortuitously, I saw last night that the Stachina Rebbe points out that the Torah says that a father has to teach his child. The source, the biblical source for teaching Torah is that a father teaches his son. Shinantam levanecha or v'limadetem osam es b'neichem ledaber bam. Teach your children. Why is the biblical source to teach your children? Because both a father and a Rebbe are really one and the same. A real Rebbe is a father to his students. And a real father is a Rebbe for his sons. So I was very fortunate that my father has filled both roles. But he agreed to come this morning and share insights from his own personal experiences and from the Torah about this very unique relationship, the relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud, a Rebbe and a student. It's not just information. Information you can get from a book. But a Rebbe and a Talmud is a very deep relationship. It's a father and a son. So guidance about that relationship.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Zev. I wanted to talk to you about this topic of a Rebbe and a Talmud, teacher and student in the Torah. I have it divided into three sections of my address to you, and I hope that you'll find it informative, inspiring. Gemara says, "Aseilach harav," a person should make for themselves a teacher, a rebbe. Find a rebbe, aseilach harav. It's not just a good piece of advice which is found in Pirkei Avot, in the book of good advice. It's really an obligation which we have to find that Rebbe and to be a student of a Rebbe. The Torah was given fundamentally through a Rebbe Talmud system. Originally, for well over 1,000 years, the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is for us the operative system, was never written down. The Torah Shebichsav was not Judaism, because there's so many things you just follow Torah Shebichsav, so different from real normative Judaism, what we call halachic Judaism. So for well over 1,000 years, it was all Rebbe Talmud, the discussions and studies and so on. So, at the very very beginning, our Torah is really Rebbe Talmud. So it's not just good advice, it's fundamentally the system. It's the system with which a person becomes a Torah Jew. It has to be through learning from someone who has learned from someone, going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the first teacher. We call him Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe our teacher. And as a Mishnah is saying, Pirkei Avot, Moshe received the Torah from Hashem, taught what he knew to Yeshua. Yeshua taught it to his students, those students taught it to their students, and keeps on going until today. So a Seilach HaRav is an obligation. If I want to be a real Orthodox Jew, a Torah Jew, I have to have a Rav, I have to have a teacher. Without that teacher, I will be sorely lacking. Even though for the last, let's say, 2,000 years, halacha and hashkafa have been written down, and I can learn a lot from books. But anyone who's read books or written books, like I've written books, knows that a book can only capture a certain amount of information. There's a lot which the author cannot put in. There's just not enough space to put everything down. and compare the difference between studying on your own or coming to a classroom. Why are boys, fellas in college, why aren't you studying on the web, doing everything long distance? Because the classroom, the interaction with the teacher, has much more than just getting information out of a book. Not just because you can ask questions, get embellishments. Many things the teacher will on the spot will spontaneously teach you, which was never written down in the book. So for us, the Aseh L'Charav is a critical element, even with all the books, all the Sfarim, ever written, ever printed. And you go down to a base in Midrash, and you see hundreds. You go to the library across the street, you see thousands of books. It doesn't accomplish what a Rebbe can give to you. So we have to have a Rebbe. Gemara says, Gadol Shimusha Yotem Elimuda. Being involved with the teacher on a personal level is greater than just studying the studies. There's a lot of information, a lot of things I can pick up just from behavior. I think that people in Mechina have a great challenge to fill this in, because even if you're studying out of Sfarim, out of books, many of you do not have the 12, 15, 18 years of religious life which people have when they're born, FFB, born from. So there's all kinds of behavioral things which we have to know. We have to know. We just can't follow what's written in the book or written in the Sefer. We have to know how do these things work themselves out in real life. And the shimush, the being, getting that real life practicum is a critical part of becoming a Torah Jew. God bless shimushayotem elimutam. I want to first, in the first part of this little talk about five examples which we have in the Tanakh of Rebbe Talmud, student teacher. Not necessarily going in the chronological order. First is, I want to speak a little bit about Yosef, who was the son of Yaakov, but really the student of Yaakov. Rashi says, and the Gemara says, Komash Shalomad Meshem Be'ever Masah LeYosef. Whatever Yaakov knew from his yeshiva, from Father Yitzchak, Avraham, Shem Be'ever, he taught to Yosef. In that most critical moment of Yosef's life, when he was faced with the greatest moral challenge of his life, when he was a slave in the house of Potiphar, completely helpless, completely at the whim of his master and mistress, who could do whatever they want, they could kill him in a moment. And when she seduced him and said, if you don't have relations with me, I will have you killed. So he refuses, and he winds up in a dungeon for 12 years. So the Gemara says, and Rashi brings it down, that all his knowledge would not have stopped him. All the knowledge he had, all those studies, would not have stopped him, because his life was on the line. And Gilu Arayot, adultery is prohibited. And I happen to be teaching it now in my class. Yoharek Val Yavar, a person supposed to give up his life rather than commit adultery. But when it comes to it, the knowledge itself would not be enough. There had to be something beyond knowing that it's wrong. So the Gemara says, Niratalo Dumut Yokno Shalaviv. He saw the image, it came into his head. His father was there. His teacher was there. He couldn't do it. So it wasn't the knowledge of the sin which prevented him from that incestual relationship. It was rather the image. The shimush, that you can't really define it. It's that personal relationship which he had with his Rebbe. That's what protected him. We live in a world which is full and full of challenges. I hope none of us get that level of seduction. But there are many, many things, whether it means getting drunk at a party, other things like that, taking some drugs. You know it's wrong. But knowing is many times not powerful enough. We need emotional. We need even deeper than emotional. We need fundamental life, existential motivation. Things which I cannot do because it's in my head, that picture, that person that I'm loyal to. So that loyalty, which is you cannot define it, is what motivates me. The loyalty to the Rebbe, the loyalty to my people, my being, this is what's going to motivate me. Now, that's why Chazal say that the shimush, getting that Rebbe, getting that model, getting that loyal connection with the teacher who embodies the lifestyle, not just the information, but the lifestyle, is going to be a critical part of my commitment. So Yosef, we call him Yosef HaTzadik because of his standing up at that moment, not giving in. It was not the limud which stopped him. It was the shimush. He couldn't do it. I want to talk about another Rebbe Talmud relationship which we have in the Chumash. And that's Yoshua with Moshe Rabbeinu. Yoshua ben Nun, he takes over the mantle of Jewish leadership after Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, this I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, who's my teacher, and he said that if you read Chumash, you wouldn't have thought that Yoshua ben Nun should be the successor of Moshe. Because in Chumash, there's a certain point that Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen, addresses the soldiers with the laws of, tells them how to take care of kashrus, how do you have not kosher pots and pans, how do you make them kosher. So in the Chumash, Elazar addresses all the soldiers who came back from the war and brought back some pots and pans, which were not kosher. And Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Chumash was there when the soldiers returned, but Elazar was the one who gave the instructions. So whatever the reason was, Rashi says Moshe Rabbeinu forgot those laws because he got angry at the time. So the student of Moshe who was able to step up to the plate and deliver the lecture about the laws of kosher was Elazar, not Yoshua ben Nun. Yoshua ben Nun was Moshe Rabbeinu's main student. So why did Elazar? So Rav Soloveitchik said, it seemed that Elazar was a better student than Moshe, than Yoshua. He knew Moshe Rabbeinu's teachings better. He was a greater scholar. He got 100 plus 5, and Yeshua got only 100. So he was a better student. So when Moshe Rabbeinu passes on and we need a replacement for him, why wasn't Elazar chosen to be the head of the Am Yisrael? Why was it given to Yeshua ben Nun? And the head meant he was the main Torah teacher. He became the head of the Sanhedrin, the main court of Jewish law, and he was the main Torah teacher for the people. How come it went to Yeshua? Because it says the Chumash, because Yeshua lo yamish mitocha oel. Yeshua was always with Moshe, always following him around. And and spend a lot of time with him, not just in the classroom, but as much time as he could, all the time. So he picked up a lot of things in terms of how one's supposed to behave. What's real life? From Moshe, which Elazar never saw. Elazar just learned in the yeshiva. He came to his class, he listened, he got good grades on the test, he knew everything very well. But he didn't spend that time with Moshe Rabbeinu. So again, here we see the koach of shimush, the power of being outside the classroom connected with the Rebbe. And that is so important in terms of that situation, being able to fill someone's shoes. I want to talk about another few examples of Rebbe Talmud, which we have in Chumash, of Avram and Yitzchak. Now, Chassidus has a very, very, very big focus on Avram and Yitzchak as two types of personality, or two midot, what they call sfirot. Avram is chesed, and Yitzchak is gevura, or din. Avram is generosity, kindness, giving, expansion, and Yitzchak is law, being right, distinguishing right from wrong, restrictions. They're two different types of people. Two different energies that God put into the world for human beings to experience. Goodness, kindness, expansion, strict law. Now, Avram and Yitzchak are two completely different personality types. Avram is chesed, Yitzchak is din. However, according to the Hasidus and the Kabbalah, when they come to the Akedah, this is the only time in last week's Sedra at the binding of Yitzchak on the altar, and Avram is offering up as an offering to God, it's the only time in the Torah that there is a conversation between Avram and Yitzchak. They talk to one another. It's the only time that the Torah records a conversation. Listen, they lived together for many, many years. I believe till the blessings of Isaac gave to Jacob and Esau. So they were together for well over 75 years. So how come the Torah only records one conversation at the binding, at the Akedah? So the Hasidus says because they were so different. They were so different. So that the conversation means I believe in this and you believe in that. Both are valid. But that's not a conversation you necessarily want to record. When they come together, and they come together and they agree, we will do this. We will do the Akedah together. Then we have a conversation. So Chassidus says that when they came together there at the Akedah, they traded their personalities. They traded their traits. Avraham learned from Yitzchak at the Akedah the Midah of Din. It was a very strong din. It was a very harsh judgment. He had to take his son and kill him for God. Very, very harsh judgment. For Yitzchak, it was not really a challenge. Not at all. Because if God said to do that, I do it. Because that was his personality. But Avraham was just the opposite personality. He was kindness, goodness, freestyling, not necessarily following laws. That wasn't his thing. For him, this was a tremendous challenge to learn how to live with a meat of din. So Avraham picked up the din. Actually, he saw Yitzchak doing it. So he learned how to do that. And Yitzchak at that point learned from Avraham Chesed. Because when he saw what his father was going through, he realized, oh, now I really understand my father's chesed. I see how difficult it is for him to do this. So now I truly understand chesed. So each of them traded midot. That's according to chesidut. Avram picked up the din of Yitzchak, and Yitzchak picked up the chesed of Avraham. That's a very important point in terms of Rebbe Talmud. The Gemara says also at some place, Mitalmidai Yotem Kulam, a Rebbe can learn a lot from his Talmudim, maybe even more than from his own Rebbe's. Talmudim can be Rebbe's. I'm learning every day from my Talmudim different things. So, you learn from other people what they are, and you can learn to do what they do. So you might be an Ish Chesed, and you can learn how to do things with Din. And you can be an Ish Din, and you can learn how to do things with Chesed. Because you have the other person as the model. So you just copy that model. And you maybe even can bring it into your personality. But it's two platforms. There's a Chesed, and there's a Din. And that's what Avram and Yitzchak were. For a long time, they were completely different. Then at the Akedah, they learned to be like one another. So Avram could do Din, and Yitzchak can do Chesed. But it's still two separate Midot. Even though within the same person, you have an Avram who has Chesed and Din, or Yitzchak has Din and Chesed, the same person. But within that same person, it's two platforms. I think it's something that Talmidim have to learn about Rebbe's, as a passing remark here. No, you look at a Rebbe, and sometimes you put him into a box. But the truth is, you can't put any person into a single box. The Rebbe may have a lot of different facets. He doesn't show you every facet. You see one facet. He's your teacher, so grading, giving, teaching you grades, it's more like, I guess, a din relationship. Very rigorous, demanding. But that same Rebbe, in some other context, could be chesed. So, we have to be able to see in others, and also within ourselves, have different levels of our behavior, our experience. Sometimes I can be an Ish Chesed. Sometimes I'm an Ish Din. I can tell you just as a Rebbe, it's a challenge. It's a big challenge to know Talmidim, when to do Chesed, when to do Din. Okay, it's a very big challenge. Too much Chesed is terrible for a Talmud. You don't appreciate that because you're a Talmidim. But I'm telling you, that if the Rebbe was too kind to you, it would not be doing you a favor. It would be doing you an injustice. Gemara, the pasuk says, "Chosef shifto son of no." If you don't have a certain the discipline, if you everything is goodness, kindness, I forgive everything. It's terrible. It's really terrible for the student. On the other hand, if you're always harsh and always demanding, it could also probably not be good for the student. Especially nowadays, people are very sensitive. The post-Holocaust generation is very sensitive. It can't be too harsh for Jews nowadays. So, you have to know, a Rebbe has to know. And I just think that the Talmidim have to appreciate the fact that the Rebbe has to do this, Din plus Chesed. Anyway, it's two platforms. That's Avram and Yitzchak. You come, and that's a very important thing, to learn different levels of behavior, different kinds of attitudes, and to be able to figure out when I should do this, when I should do that. By the way, it's very important when you're married with your wife and children. I can tell you one thing. With your wife, try to always have chesed. Always be nice to your wife. With your kids, you should have a good amount of din. Don't give in to kids too much because you'll spoil them. So make demands on kids. And don't be afraid once in a while to give a patch to a kid, a little patch. I had a child among my children this, well, she was a girl, I mean, she never did anything wrong. She was so good. She was so good, Mamish. I never could discipline her about anything. And she went through, since she was a little baby, and always listened to Abba and Ima, everything we wanted her to do. We sent her to kindergarten, everything is beautiful, first grade, second grade. I said to myself, this is very, I know that I have to discipline a child someplace. So one day she comes back in second grade, and she comes back home, she says, Abba, someone said this in the classroom, and so she says a dirty word. So I said, oh, great. I said to myself, great. I said, now I can discipline this girl. I said, that's the word that came out of your mouth? Come with me to the bathroom. I took a piece of soap, I put it in her mouth. I said, now you've learned. Dirty words are never said. So I washed out her mouth with a piece of soap. She cried. Never happened to her in her life, something like that. But I was, a little bit of din, a little bit of discipline. And that was it for the rest of her life. Never disciplined her. Yaakov is a third kind of student. Yaakov Avinu is a student of Avram and Yitzhak, and he learned from Avram the chesed, and he learned from Yitzhak the din, but he created a new version. Not two independent platforms, sometimes chesed, sometimes din, or mainly chesed, mainly din. He created what's called in Chassidut Rachamim, some new thing which has chesed and din in it, but in a certain way it's really different than chesed and din. It's something new. I don't know, you guys don't come, it's chemistry. So sometimes you mix two elements, you get a third element which is completely different, right? Oxygen, hydrogen put it together, you get water. Water is completely different. And oxygen and hydrogen has completely different properties. So in midos is the same thing. I can take a pure midah, chesed, a pure midah, din, mix it together, I get something completely new called rachamim. It has within it chesed and within it din, but it's completely different than chesed and din. It's called rachamim. So that's what Yaakov Avinu is. This is a different, a very important type of Talmud with a Rebbe. He learns from the Rebbe the information. He does the shimush. He follows the Rebbe around and learns how to live a Torah Judaism, a Jewish life. But maybe he has more than one Rebbe. He has a few Rebbes. This Rebbe is like that. This Rebbe is like this. And maybe he has his own experiences. He puts it all together in a test tube, waves a wand, and out comes a completely new way of living. This is Yaakov. Now Yaakov, according to the Chassidus, is greater than Avraham and Yitzhak, because he's able to put it together and create the ultimate mix. That's why we're called B'nai Yisrael. We're not called B'nai Avram. We're not called B'nai Yitzhak. We're called B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Yaakov, Beis Yaakov. Because Yaakov is creating the mix. Now, since Yaakov until today, we have Rebbes, and we are Talmidim, students of teachers. But the real goal, ultimately, is to create that individual me. I'm not just a carbon copy of my teacher, which is a great level. It's a great level. But I have even more than that. I have something in that which is me. And that's where we have to go. But I want to tell you, you cannot achieve that ultimate me, which is Yaakov. We call this Tiferet, the most beautiful thing. You can't do it if you don't start with the simple elements, chesed, din. I have to have role models. I have to have teachers who maybe I see them in one way. This is what this teacher is teaching me. This teacher is teaching me din, mishnah halacha, how to read the chumash, how to read the gemara, how to find out what the din and shulchan aruch is. That's what he's teaching me. This other teacher maybe is teaching me chesed. how to be a nice guy, how to help people, how to be kind, benevolent. I learned that from that teacher. And then, at the end, I put it together and I create a me. I have chesed, I have din, I have a lot of things in me. All mixed together in a good way, which is the way for me, where Hashem wants me to be. That's the ultimate goal. But a lot of people nowadays say, I want to be me. I understand you want to be me. But you want to be me without ever learning the elements which go into becoming the real me. You don't want to learn about chesed. You don't want to go visit sick people in hospitals with a person who does that. You don't want to sit and learn Torah from a Torah teacher who teaches you the dinim, the regular, rigorous laws. You don't want to put in the basic elements, but you want to get the final product. It doesn't make any sense. How are you going to get to the end goal if you don't do the basic fundamental elements which are necessary? Can a guy go to graduate school and never get high school? We agree. The me, the you, is the goal. But you have to build that me. You have to bring that out. You have to find that me. You will never get there if you don't put in basic elements of development. That, I think, is a very big challenge for a lot of people nowadays. And I want to be me. You should be me. But how are you going to get there? Only by doing basic fundamental work. If you can go into the classroom and you can do that work, which is really din, you're building part of the me. If you can go out of the classroom and go to hospitals, do kind deeds, have spiritual experiences, go to Shabbatons and daven and fervor with fervor, you put the element of chesed and tefillah, and religious ecstasy into your experience. Put that in. And at the end of all these elements, you will be able to create an amalgam. You will be able to create the me, the you that you want to be. But you have to do all that fundamental work. That's very important. So Yaakov doesn't become Yaakov when he's 13. He gets the blessings from Isaac, or 84, whatever the number was. He becomes Yaakov after he puts it a lot of work together. A lot of things. He has to go to Lavan. He has to be over there. And he has to do a lot of things, a lot of learning in his life, many different situations. Finally, he comes back. He's a relatively old man. At that point, he is Yisrael. That's when he gets the real name. Only after putting together many different elements, many different platforms, not just one. After Shem Ve'eva, he still was not Yisrael. He had to go to Lavan for 22 years and struggle over there and come back, becomes Yisrael. So we have to understand this, that we have to combine many different elements, and then we can ultimately achieve the goal we want to achieve, which is to be like Yisrael. One last point I wanted to say in terms of Tanakh, models from Tanakh. You have Eliyahu with Elisha. When Eliyahu takes Elisha as his Talmud and then follower, steps in his feet, shoes to be the next Torah leader. So when Eliyahu goes up to heaven, Elisha calls out, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael Parashav. He calls out, he says, Eliyahu, my father, my father. We see from this the father-son relationship. As Rabbi Zev mentioned before, that the pasuk which says, teach Torah to students, says, Vishinantam lebonecha, teach your children. Rashi says, Bonecha elu talmidecha. A Torah Rebbe has to be a father image and play a father-like role in the life of the Talmud. To be a real Rebbe. Actually, I heard this from Rabbi Salvation. You get two kinds of Rebbes. There's an everyday Rebbe. He just teaches you information, really. And then there's what we call in Halakha, Rabbo Mufhak, a special Rebbe, for your best Rebbe, your greatest Rebbe, your favorite Rebbe. So this Rabbi Mufak is Avid, is really your father. And okay, we can maybe spend a long time going through what father-son relationships are, but let's just say it's a very personal relationship. The father that doesn't have a personal relationship, doesn't have emotion in that relationship, it's not a real father relationship. So there has to be a very strong emotional element in this to get the Rabbi Mufak. And I was telling this to the boys in my shiur yesterday. You know, I was a Talmud. You're a Talmud. Every Talmud wants to have an emotional attachment to a Rebbe. It's a human need to have a role model, but it's a very special Jewish need, because the way Judaism is created with Torah Shebaal Peh, the whole thing is very much to try to have that. So we need that. But you have to know one thing. There are two kinds. I'm talking now as a Rebbe. There are two kinds. I'm giving you a little insight from the head of a Rebbe. There are two kinds of Rebbes. Every single Rebbe that I know wants a personal relationship with his Talmud. He does. Very few Rebbes don't. You know, I was the Rav for 25 plus years at the Soloveitchik, and he was the coldest Rebbe in the world. The coldest. After 20 years in his shiur, I would go up with the elevator from, I would bump into him in the street and up the elevator to classroom. He didn't even say hello to me. I didn't exist. So he was cold like ice. But I can tell you, in his writings, he writes how he would love to have a warm relationship with every town. He saw how much I want. And he used to speak about it in his big shiur also. Oh, I would love to have a person. So let me just say one thing about the Rav, and a lot about me and other Rebbes. Every single Rebbe who's teaching Torah demands, motivates, inspires Rebbes to reach out to Talmidim. This is our religious, spiritual, human heart mission. Our mission is to reach out. Rishinatam levonecha. We want to reach out. There's a lot of things which are preventing it. Well, nowadays, there's a tremendous amount of static, mental static. Everybody's under pressure. Everybody. You're under pressure, I'm under pressure, my wife's under pressure, your parents are under pressure. Pressures from all over, whether it's to make a living, whether it's to catch the bus, whether it's to pay my bills. There's pressure. Pressure equals time. Equals time. Time is eaten up by all these pressures. One of the things is I want to reach my Talmidim. The pressure of time, unless I make a decision, I will do nothing else. Except reach out to Talmidim. That's the only way I can go and reach every Talmud. If I were this, I'll do nothing else. I will not pay any bills. I will never try to be on time to anything. I will ignore my wife and my children because I'm busy with my Talmidim. And, you know, and we made a halula for Shlomo Kalibach. Could be that was Shlomo Kalibach's philosophy, because he never was on time to anything, but he was always talking to Talmidim, people who wanted to talk to him. He considers Talmidim. So, but he was one out of 16 million other Jews. Everybody else responds to pressures. So how do you get that connection to the Rebbe who wants to give you that connection? The really only practical way is you have to move to the Rebbe. If you want to have a relationship, and you not want, you must have that relationship, you have to go to the Rebbe. The Rebbe, can I meet you in your office? The Rebbe will always say yes. Rebbe, can I come to your house for Shabbos? Always say yes. Rebbe, can I carry a bag for you to the classroom? Most times they'll say yes. Rebbe, do you want to play basketball with me in the gym? He'll say no. But you have to push, you have to go to the Rebbe. If you go to the Rebbe, he will be there. Because he wants to be there. He wants to be there. He has to be there. He has a mitzvah to be there. And he wants to do that mitzvah. So you have to move towards the Rebbe. That's, I'm telling you, a very down-to-earth, practical piece of advice. And I had to say it, of course. That's the nice. Now, let's talk a little bit about some examples I have of Talmidim which I had in the past, because Zev asked me to mention something. Been the Rebbe a very long time, close to 40 years. There's a certain Talmud that he wanted me to talk about, the Faivo. I'll just say first names here. Faivo is a Talmud I had, I don't know, long, long, long time ago. At least 30 plus years ago. And he was in the Mechina program of those years, called at that time, it was called JSS. And I used to invite Mechina JSS fellas over for Shabbos meals. And he came very early, maybe second Shabbos in YU, came to me for Shabbos meal. By the way, I'm inviting everybody here to come to me for Shabbos meal, whatever you want. So he came. And he had that midah. He had that midah of moving towards the Rebbe, of sticking with the Rebbe. He wasn't JSS boys. He came to Shabbos very often that year. He was not in my class, but he came. And at the Shabbos table, he got the shimush. He was learning many, many things of what is real Shabbos life in the religious house. How do you run a Shabbos table? What do you talk about at the Shabbos table? My house, we do not talk politics. We do not talk about the sports. We only talk more or less the Divrei Torah. Shot in the Pasha, a question, or this, or that. And I try to always have discussions going on about it. He gets involved in the discussions. That summer, at the end of the year, so the year was over, so he says to me, I don't know if at that time he called me Rebbe, or he called me Rabbi Reichman, I don't know, because I wasn't his Rebbe in Klan. He says, I would like to come with you in the summer, where you're going to be. I said, I go to the bungalow, up in the castles. He says, I'm ready to come to the bungalow. Don't worry, I'll figure out where to live, and I want you to live with me in the bungalow. I had to say yes. I had no choice. I remember that summer he came up to the bungalow. He lived someplace, I don't know, in a motel, or he rented a room somewhere, I have no idea. Or he lived in the yeshiva nearby, maybe, I think that's what he did. And you come every day to learn. And we learned every day for an hour a day. And he was at that point, he was beginning to learn Rashi in the Chumash. And he took maybe this week's parasha, Chayei Sara. And he would take a chumash, and we would learn. He'd say, Rebbe, you have to prepare. Before I learn with you, I'm preparing. I said, okay. We learn for 1 hour. He says, I'm preparing. So we'd prepare the whole day. You'd spend 8 hours preparing for that 1 hour we learned together. And he had another great thing. He didn't want to be spoon-fed information. So we had the chumash, no translation. Regular Chumash, regular Rashi, no translation. And next to him, next to Chumash, he had a Hebrew dictionary. And he would read the word in the Chumash. If he didn't know what it meant, look it up in the dictionary. Read the Rashi, didn't know what it meant, look it up in the dictionary. I mean, it literally took the boy one pasuk, the Rashi, an hour. We spent an hour. Because he didn't read it, look up almost every single word in the dictionary. And then after preparing a whole day, the 8 hours, he would do maybe 10 psukim. Then we would learn the 1 hour. He would read it to me. He would know every single word. And that's how we'd spent the summer. And next he did the same thing. Many Shabbos come to the house. And the next summer he did it again. By then, he already was way, way advanced. Way advanced. And the third year, he switched into YP. He came to my shir. Spent 2 years in my shir, then he went to the smicha program, and almost all these years he stayed in Mashiach and got smicha, became a rabbi. And then someone came to me and said, Rabbi Reichman, I have a very, very nice girl. You know, a nice boy? I said, what kind of girl is she? Oh, she's a great student of Torah, comes from a real, very firm family, a real tzaddikus. I said, okay, let me meet her. So she came with her mother, and she met me with a room. I see, like, such, like, these were like the nicest people, very nice people, really Torah scholars. The father was a Torah scholar, a professor. The mother was an editor of a Jewish newspaper. And the girl herself was a valedictorian at Stern. She was really brilliant, great Torah scholar. Said, do you have someone for this girl? I said, yeah. So who? Feivel. Started 8 years earlier with a dictionary, one word at a time. I was already a rabbi. I said, Feivel. And Feivel married her. And after that, they moved to L.A., and Feivel became a Torah teacher. She was a Torah teacher to Israel. And what's very amazing is that it's more than 30 years. Every single time I go to Israel, Feivel calls me before I come and says, Rebbe, when are you coming to Israel? Every time I go to Israel, two or three times a year, he's at the airport picking me up. And then for the rest of my stay, 2-3 weeks, I have a chauffeur. Wherever I want to go. The last trip when I came home, when I went back, so it was the night before the flight, it was midnight. So I said, Feivel, I can't really leave Israel without going to the Kotel Maravi. He says, okay, Rebbe. So at midnight, we drove down to Kotel Maravi, and there was, I don't know, thousands of people. Something was going on there for Kotel. You could not find a spot. I said, Feivel, we'll just drive through. He says, no, Rebbe, we'll see. He comes out of the old city. He says, he makes a left turn instead of a right turn. He drives a little bit down into somewhat behind the old city. And there's one spot, parks the car. And we get out of the car. And then I say, and he says, Rebbe, look, we were in the back of the whole Temple Mount. We were at the eastern side. So Rebbe, you spoke about this so many times, how we would like to daven on the eastern wall. Everyone davens the western wall. You have a chance to daven on the eastern wall. I said, okay, Feivel. But it's an Arab cemetery. And it's whatever. You're not supposed to go there. I said, okay. Feivel runs up to the eastern wall. He's davening. So I got to go too. So he became my Rebbe. He called me that. And we went there. We davened at the eastern wall. And it was great. And then after that, we went back. On the way back, it was already 2 a.m. He said, we can stop off at Kever Rachel. We went to the Kever Rachel at 2 a.m. And then the next morning, he drove me to the plane, 6 a.m. So this is a Talmud, a connection for 30 plus years. And every time I come, he does it. So my wife says to me, she says, you know, my first name, she says, listen, you're taking advantage. How do you take a man who married the children and make him in your chauffeur? I said, I'm not doing it. He's the one who's pulling me. He's always on top of me. He wants to take me. He wants to do me. And then, I asked him every so often. He says, Rebbe, you don't understand. You're teaching me. You're giving me. You're still my Rebbe. So, that's what it's supposed to be like. That kind of relationship, Rebbe Talmud. So I want to bless all of you, give you a bracha, a blessing that you find your Rebbe, maybe more than one, but find him by searching, by making the move towards the person. Invite yourself, go into the office, go into the house, push yourself in. The Rebbe wants you there, and you will find the Rebbe. You have to find the Rebbe, and that will really help you find you. Your real me will come out of that finding the Rebbe. That's your call.
Any questions? Does anybody have a question? Question?
So
That's a great question.
That's
a great question. You have to make it's an instinct. You have to find that. You have to have that instinct. Which person is the one which is pulling me more, and go with that. So if it's the previous rabbi you had in Kansas, just keep on connecting to him. If you find that there's an instinct, somebody new that you met new, so they'll go for the new person. But I don't think there's a formula here to say, was it the person who was makarav me, the person who I had my first encounter with religious a rabbi, because he did so much to me, he helped me find religion. Or is it when I come to, let's say, yeshiva, YU, I find here some great rabbi who's teaching and inspiring. So I think you have to, more like, I don't know if you can think it through with logic. I think it's an emotional decision. But whichever way it is, definitely, you know, do it. Don't let that question make you lose a rabbi. So that, Kansas, I can't because he's in Kansas. The new rabbi, I can't because I don't really know him. So then you have to wind up with nothing. That's not a good decision. Always find the rabbi. Stick with him.
Thank you.
Another question.
Oh, yeah, another one.
Rabbi Soloveitch, he said he was your rabbi, he was your teacher. How is it that someone who was, I guess, cold like that,
okay, that's a good question, a really good question. I get like this. As a student, I and everybody else, we need a Rebbe that we can relate to, not just intellectually, but also emotionally, as we said, because we have to have shimush with the Rebbe. Now, Rabbi Soloveitchik was the ultimate embodiment of the teacher who is Midah of Din. Okay, he is Yitzchak. Very, very, very rigorous, very strict. Everything is precise. You're not allowed to make a mistake. You aren't allowed to make a mistake. He demanded that of himself, and he demanded of every student in the class. He could never make a mistake. So he's Din now. As a really, really, really devoted Talmud of his, I did what I said was the Avram Yitzchak Rebbe Talmud, where you pick up one, you get that Midah, and that becomes one platform within you. So within me, I have the platform of Halacha. That's 100% the Rav. So when I learn any Gemara, any Shulchan Aruch, any Sefer Halacha, it's 100% this Rebbe is right in there. I see him. That's why I can write the books, which are his shulrim, because he's my Rebbe. But he is not my emotional Rebbe for kindness. He never showed me any way of... He taught me the laws of charity. He never showed me the laws of charity. He never lived it for me. I don't know a Shabbos table from him. So to get the other parts of my own being, my own me, I had to find it someplace else. So I, first of all, I spent a lot of time, my own father, he was a very religious man, and he was also a Talmud Chacham, and came compared to Rabbi Soloveitchik. But so I had respect from his learning, and his religious life, the way he lived life, was certainly something which gave me a lot of the other dimension, the experiential dimension. Then later on, I started to go to Borough Park and then see Rebbes and see Chassidish Tish and stuff like that. And I went to I was with Shlomo Kalibach a lot. I spent time with him. There was a lot of very big emotional impact on me. I had to find it other places. I could not find it. Not Rabbi Soloveitchik or YU. YU had no emotional, spiritual element whatsoever. Nothing. You're lucky you have. Two of your refugees are trying to bring it in. And I'm the sole voice in the YP trying to do some emotional, spiritual things. So I had to find it someplace else for sure. But whether I've been able to completely put it together, I wouldn't say, but I can say I'm able to work like Avram Yitzchak, two platforms. If I do halacha, I'm pure din, like the Ram. If I do a kumzitz, a helula, I try to be like Shlomo Kalibach and some of the other people I've experienced.
Eli had a question.
No.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that in the years that I taught for a there's the famous picture of the Rebbeim, and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik is on the end. And they cut that end picture of him and they blew it up. And Rav Bezdin put it in a frame. And one day I came down in between classes and he says, Chaim, you're the only one here who can use a hammer and a nail. Do me a favor. I'm going to sit down by my desk and I want you to hang the picture of my Rebbe behind me. I want his eyes right at the back of my head. So Rav Bezdin, Chaylukim. Rav Bezdin sat down by the desk in the Mistreich's idea. We went in the inside. Rav Bezdin sat down, and I said, "Can you feel it? Got it lined up?" And we lined the picture of Moshe right by his eyes. But I hung the picture. He turned around. He goes, "Good. I want it every day. First thing I see when I walk in, last thing I look at when I walk out."
That's a dragon.
Thank you. And I just want to mention, in terms of having a connection with the Rebbe, this Shabbos we have a Shabbaton with Rabbi Yudin in his house. The buses are going to be leaving in front of the bookstore at 4 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. It will be a very special Shabbos with a very special Rebbe.